Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse brings you a play for radio by Upstage Surrey.
Upstage Surrey presents Alfred the Great by Pip Rolls.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Me.
Me who?
That was a terrible impression of a cat.
You haven't heard our cat. Good day, King Alfred, your majesty.
How do you know I'm the king?
I am all-seeing.
Damn, I was hoping no one would know who I was.
I suggest next time you roam abroad, you don't wear your crown.
Good point.
So, what can I do for you, your majesty?
I was lost in the forest. Then I smelt the smoke from your fire and made my way here, hoping to get someone to lead me out of the forest.
You may think that you came upon this cottage by chance, but I have brought you here for the sake of cake.
What do you mean, for cake's sake?
I have been asked by Merlin, the wizard, to help you get back your kingdom and rid you of the Vikings. The answer lies through cake.
Dear lady, you are deluded. I would dearly love to have afternoon tea with a piece of cake. I have spent the last few months stuck on the Isle of Athelney with only ducks and eels to eat, with the occasional takeaway from Bridgewater. All my nobles have deserted me, I've lost my kingdom, and I'm at my wit's end.
Fear not, great king. I will provide you with the answer. Cakes will be your secret weapon and pave your road to victory. I have had vision.
Oh, not another nutter. So, what did you see in these visions?
It was all a bit misty. I dreamt it was more than 1,000 years from now. A strange creature appeared out of the mist, more like a skeleton than a man. I think they called him Bony Parts. Or Bonaparte. He was saying that an army marches on its stomach.
On its stomach?
I think his meaning was metaphorical. He really meant that an army must be well fed if it is to succeed. But there was more.
More?
Oh, yes. There was a French queen. I think she was called Marianne Toilette.
Unfortunate name for a queen. So, what did she have to say?
She said, let them eat cake.
What? Did that help?
I can't be sure. It all went misty after that. But the message is clear. Cakes are the answer to your problems. It just so happens that I have a cake here. And there are some more nearly ready in the oven. Here. Have a taste. Bit special, aren't they?
Oh, that's one way of putting it.
Look, I will go and find my husband. He's with the pigs at the moment. He always gets back late on baking day. He will be able to lead you out of the forest. In the meantime, you finish that cake and get the cakes out of the oven when they're done. And we can all have some more when I get back.
Oh, by all the saints in heaven. She may have a point about cakes, but hers are disgusting. Oh, I don't think I could face another one. Oh, I know. I'll pretend to be asleep and leave the cakes to burn.
What's that smell? Oh, Oh, no, they're all burnt. You stupid men.
He's the king. You can't say that, wife.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. I fell asleep. It must have been your wonderful cake.
Have you eaten one of her cakes?
Yes, delicious.
Are you sure it was one of her cakes?
My husband will lead you out of the forest, but before you go, I'll make us all a nice hot cup of tea.
Did you really eat one of my wife's cakes? I always come in late on baking day so I can avoid them. She goes to bed and leaves them out for me. I give them to the pigs.
Well, I have to admit they are not the best cakes I've eaten.
I suppose she's been telling you about her visions. I can see a point about cakes, but using hers would be a disaster.
Yes. I have to say, the idea of cakes has grown on me. I'd hate to let her down, but I would have to find a better source.
Take advice from a married man. Someone who's been through it all before. Shift the blame. Get someone else to tell her that her cakes are rubbish.
Oh, that's a bit underhand.
I know. I tell you what. You could have a competition with some impartial judges and invite her to compete against some of the best bakers in the country. That way you could get someone else to take the blame for rejecting her cakes and get some decent ones from your army. What's more, it would make great television. You could call it the Great Wessex Bake Off.
The Great Wessex Bake Off. Brilliant. What's your name again?
Desmond Tini. Des to my friends.
Well, I think you may have shaped my future, Des Tini.
Bakers, you have 2 minutes before you have to bring your cakes to the table. You join us at the point where only three of the original 12 contenders are left. There's Gamey Bolivar, who's been promoting cheap home cooking, Nigella Folsom, who's been promoting expensive home cooking, and a woman Alfred came across in the forest. Least said about her, the better. As you know, the winner of this bake-off competition will be awarded the contract to provide King Alfred's army with cakes. We are only moments away from an assessment by judges Paul Hollybush and Mary Telly. Let's see how the bakers are doing. Gamey Bolivar, how's it going?
Brilliantly. I haven't done anything special. Anyone can do this recipe at home. All you need is basic cooking skills and an ego the size of a planet.
Can I have a taste? Delicious. So, let's see what Nigella Folsom has in store for us. It's great we still have two ladies in the running. What's your secret, Nigella?
I haven't got any left, darling. I've told all my secrets to the Daily Mail.
No, I mean your cake cooking secret.
Oh, I see. Lusciousness, darling. A hint of nuttiness and oozing with cream. I always like to keep it moist.
They look delicious. You have 1 minute, ladies and gent, before the moment of truth. The final contestant is a rather mysterious lady from the forest. Mrs. Nee, I understand that your husband was one of the people behind this programme.
Oh, yes, he loves my cakes. And he wanted me to compete against these celebrities to show the world what I could do. I'm not sure how it will go, but the king liked my cakes when he came to my cottage.
So, what's your approach?
I like to use good old dark age ingredients, pea and bean flour, with just a dash of oats and corn cockle.
Corn cockle? What, the weed corn cockle?
Oh, yes, it's what gives my cakes their distinctive flavour.
But doesn't corn cockle burn through your innards like chilli pepper? You didn't think of having a sweetener like honey in it?
It's a thought, I suppose.
As you can see, we have a range of approaches, but now it is the moment we've all been waiting for. Contestants, bring your offerings to the table. You're first, Mrs. Nee.
What have we here? Oh, not sweet at all. What do you think, Mary?
Oh, dear. I don't think this will go down well with the ladies who take tea in the afternoon.
But my husband and the king loves them.
Yes, I hate to let you down, dearie, but these are just not up to it. What else do we have? Oh, dear. This one from Gamey Bolivar tastes like it's been cobbled together from stuff left over in the store cupboard. Probably keeps the cost down, but not what we're looking for, I think.
It might be useful for cash-strapped local councils trying to provide school children with proper meals, but I don't think it will go down well with fighting men.
Okay, let's try Nigella's offering. That's delicious. Now this is more like it.
Oh, yes. That is what we've been looking for.
Looks like that's a decision, then. It's the most expensive option, but then, if a whole kingdom's at stake, it's probably worth it.
Welcome, gentlemen. I've gathered you warlords together with me here on the Isle of Athelney at this perilous moment in our nation's history to raise an army that will defeat the Viking heathen horde who have ravaged our lands.
They may have ravaged your lands, but there hasn't been much ravaging down in Cornwall.
Yeah, what's this nation you're talking about? We have just a group of tribes trying to rub along together. Are you trying to lord it over us?
Anyway, enough of this rabbinging on. First things first. We're here for Nigella's cakes.
Yes. Where are the creamy cakes you promised?
About to be served, gentlemen. Steward, bring in the tea and cakes.
Now we're talking. Just smell those cakes.
Now, what were you saying about nations and stuff?
This could be a turning point in history. If we get together and remove the Vikings, it could lead to the unification of all the kingdoms of Britain.
Why would we want to do that?
Because it's a good thing.
Why is it a good thing?
Well, we would be in charge of our own destiny. And if we stood together, we would be rid of the Vikings.
Hang on a minute. Who gets to be chief once we get rid of the Vikings?
I was hoping you'd see your way clear to vote me in.
Oh, so this is all about you wanting to lord it over us instead of the Vikings. What have you got that they haven't?
Oh, cakes. I'd provide you with Nigella's delicious cakes.
It's a good start, but how could we be sure you'd keep your word?
I give you my solemn oath that I will serve tea and Nigella's freshly baked, creamy cakes at tea time during every battle we fight.
Wow, that's quite an offer. What do you think, chaps?
Okay, so what have you got planned?
I've arranged a match with the Vikings for next Tuesday week, near a little village called Eddington. Do you think you could make it?
As long as there's cakes, I think we're all in.
Excellent. We'll move forward into the sunlit uplands of a new beginning for the Isle of Britain, crying, God for Alfred, England, and St. George.
Yeah, whatever.
Good afternoon. You join us today in what is expected to be a unique experience. Down in Wessex, King Alfred's army is facing the Viking hordes near the village of Eddington. As ever, we have our critical editor, Laura Coonsfroth, standing outside number 10 Downing Street in her overcoat and scarf. She will be helping us to understand how today's events fit into the wider picture. And in Wessex, our chief deputy person, Vicky Tongue, is with the armies. How are things going, Vicky?
Good afternoon, everyone. Everything seems to be in place. They've set out tables and chairs on the top of the hill behind the shield wall. There's a slight breeze, but the sun is out and it looks like a fine day for the match. There was some trouble earlier when some of the tablecloths blew away, but that's been sorted. At the moment, I'm at the bottom of Eddington Hill with Guthrum, the warlord in charge of the Viking heathen army. Lord Guthrum, or should I say, your Viking ship, how do you think today will go?
We are well then.
There's been a lot of talk about cakes giving Alfred the edge. I must say, your men don't seem to be enthusiastic about their open Scandinavian sandwiches.
A Danish smørrebrød provides a balanced meal, not like the fancy cakes Alfred gives his troops. Anyway, Alfred has to bake his cakes on site to keep them fresh, and I hear tell that he burnt some of them.
I did hear something about that. But turning to the bigger picture, what is it about Wessex that made you want to take it over?
Well, there's a lot of tin and copper and gold, but that's not the whole story. It's the climate and those long sandy beaches that I go for. My wife likes coming down here and the kids love it. I reckoned that if I took the place over, I wouldn't have to pay the crazy hotel prices. It all came to a head over wintering in Reading.
Really? Why was that?
Oh, you've obviously never overwintered in Reading. I was screaming to get out. It didn't actually matter where as long as I got out. Then the Wessex option came up and I plumped for that. I thought I had nailed Alfred in Chippenham with our surprise attack, but now he's popped up again. Anyway, enough of this chitter-chatter. I must ready myself.
Thank you for speaking to me, and may the best man win. Back to you in the studio, Fiona.
Laura, perhaps you can put Guthrum's comments into perspective.
All I can say is watch this space. I think there are still a few surprises to come, but anyone who's been to Reading can understand how Guthrum felt. Picking up on his comments about the food the armies are eating, smørrebrød may give Guthrum's army a better medium-term diet, but I think he is missing the point. Downing a few cakes before a battle spurs troops on with a sugar rush.
I hear there's some talk of a secret weapon. Something to do with the cakes themselves?
There's always rumours, Fiona. Some of them concocted as misinformation to keep the opposition on their toes. Guthrum has been putting it about that the god Thor, the Thunderer, will put in an appearance on their side. They've also been saying that the cakes won't be a significant factor, since they're all burnt. On Alfred's side, Dominic Bumblings, his chief advisor, has been saying that his cakes have given his army superhuman powers and that they've got Jesus Christ on their side. Leaving that aside, Alfred is definitely a force to be reckoned with, and I think he has a reasonable chance of winning.
Let's get Vicky's perspective in Wiltshire. Vicky, what is it looking like where you are? Does Alfred have a chance?
It looks like they're evenly matched, but Alfred has the advantage of being perched on the top of Eddington Hill. I've left Guthrum and I've climbed up to speak to the King. Your Majesty, thanks for taking the time to speak to me.
It's a pleasure, as it always is with you.
Leaving that aside, I don't think I've ever seen such a cheery army, Your Majesty.
That's what cakes do for you.
I was a bit surprised to see tables laid out for afternoon tea behind your shield wall.
Least said about that, the better. But I can say that cakes are playing an increasingly important role in modern warfare.
Oh?
They not only have a role in heartening my army, but certain varieties can be used on the offensive. But least said about that, the better.
I'm struggling to understand how cakes could be used as an offensive weapon. Do you intend to throw them at the Vikings?
Interesting that you should mention that. We did undertake trials using burnt cakes as projectiles. We even experimented with smouldering cakes, showered on an enemy,
but they were not very effective. Then we came up with something quite novel.
Least said about that, the better, I suppose.
Indeed. Let's just say that letting the Vikings steal cakes infested with corn cockle, made by the old crone from the forest, slowed them down a bit.
That's chemical warfare, isn't it? Aren't they going to ban that?
Well, if they do, we expect to get a special dispensation for bakery products. But least said about that, the better.
I thought you might say that. So, if there's no more to be said, I'll thank you for speaking to me, Your Majesty.
It's been a pleasure, as it always is with you, Vicky.
Least said about that, the better, Your Majesty. Fiona!
Can you shed any light on this, Laura?
Well, as you know, cakes have been up there front and centre ever since this campaign began. It was something of a masterstroke by Alfred when he invited all his warlords to afternoon tea a month or so ago. Luckily, the cakes went down a treat, and they all signed up. And now, it looks like Alfred has provided us with the first example of chemical warfare, using those dreadful corncockle cakes to upset the enemy. He certainly has quite a box of tricks up his sleeve.
Sounds like he must have very big sleeves.
As you know, we aren't expecting chemical warfare to be banned until 1925.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I think things are happening in Wiltshire. Vicky, can you tell us what's going on?
They're taking Nigella's cakes out of the field ovens, and there's a delicious aroma spreading across the battlefield. I see the umpire has raised his hat on a stick to indicate that the armies should get ready for the battle, and the crowd have gone quiet. The teams are concentrating. Guthrum's coming out of his tent, ready to lead his men. Oh, that's a surprise. The Vikings have set off up the hill without him. I think it surprised the umpire, too. He's dropped his hat into the tea urn. He's clearly not sure what to make of it. There's a lot of cheering and shouting as the Vikings make their way up the hill, and the Saxons are shouting back. It's almost as if they're cheering them on. They all seem very happy. It's not what I expected. Oh, dear. It looks like Alfred's shield wall is crumbling. No, wait a moment. My goodness.
What's happening, Vicky?
The Vikings are dropping their swords and shields and are making their way through the gaps in the shield wall made by the Saxons. Guthrum looks furious and is telling them to fight. Hang on, there's more. The Saxons seem to be inviting the Vikings to tea, and they are sitting down at the tables laid out for afternoon tea. It's certainly taken the steam out of the Vikings.
Laura, what's your take on this?
Well, we now know what the secret weapon is, Fiona. What a game changer. Who'd have thought it? Everyone felt so sorry for Alfred after the story broke about him burning his cakes, but he certainly had us all fooled.
I think Vicky has an update for us.
It looks like Guthrum is registering a complaint. The umpire is leafing through the rule book, but he can't find anything that covers the situation and has overruled Guthrum's complaint.
Laura, have you heard of anything like this before? The umpire seems to be at a loss.
It's hard to think of anything like it. I suppose you could say that it's rather like the sirens in Greek mythology, seducing the Greeks, rather than battling with them. But it's not quite the same.
It looks like it's all over. The umpire has fished his hat out of the tea urn and thrown it into the air, indicating the end of the match. Back to you, Fiona.
I have to say, this is one of the shortest outside broadcasts we've mounted. This is a turning point, isn't it, Laura?
No one would have expected this 6 months ago. It does provide a foundation for expansion. Oh, there's a long way to go, but I think Alfred has taken the first step in creating what might prove to be one nation spread across Britain.
Sorry to interrupt you, but Vicky is with the two leaders. Alfred has invited Guthrum to join him for afternoon tea. Is that right, Vicky?
Yes. It seems that Nigella's cakes can soften the hardest heart. I have been able to join the two captains at the tea table. Thank you, gentlemen, for letting me join you. I must say, these cakes are really something. First to you, Lord Guthrum. Were you surprised that you lost?
Everything is relative, Vicky. These guys will pay me one heck of a lot of gold and an unlimited supply of Nigella's cakes as part of the settlement. All I have to do is pretend to become a Christian and promise not to attack Alfred again. But even that doesn't count, because I had my fingers crossed behind my back when I said it.
Isn't that cheating?
Cheating? What about what Alfred did? Once we got near Alfred's shield wall, Alfred's men started offering them tea and cakes if they surrendered. Now that's underhanded. I would like to point out that we appealed to the umpire over the trickery he used to entice our men with the smell of hot cakes.
But the umpire let it pass.
They offered him hot cakes too. He took one bite and threw out my complaint, but I still think it was unfair. Cakes as a weapon of mass desertion should not be allowed. They should be banned under the Geneva Convention. I'll be raising an objection at the International Criminal Court about Alfred's use of weapons of mass desertion.
How does it feel, Your Majesty, to have Wessex back under your control?
Well, I won't pretend that it's not a great relief.
It was a masterly stroke using cakes as a weapon of mass desertion.
Yes. And we understand how Guthrum feels. We think the best way ahead is to hold salt talks.
Salt talks?
Yes. Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty talks. We don't need to change the Geneva Conventions. We can just agree to limit the use of weapons of mass desertion, like cake. Anyway, I think the use of cakes will not be as effective next time and may not be deployed in warfare again. We'll have to come up with something better, like an enormous bomb, but that's a whole new kettle of fish.
Well, on that note, I'll say thank you, Your Majesty. Back to you, Fiona.
Perhaps a last word from you, Laura.
I think it is fair to say that this has been a turning point in history. However, I can't see cake being allowed in future battles. All the interested parties want to have battles where they hack each other to death, rather than take afternoon tea. The film industry and television need a few good wars to make into blockbuster films. Commercial television advertising revenue would collapse if productions ended with a tea party rather than smashing the opposition to bits. Perhaps, most importantly, it affects you and I, Fiona. We might be out of a job if there was nothing bloodthirsty to report on.
Good point. Well, I guess that's a wrap. Next week we'll be bringing you more horrors of war, if we can uncover any. Thanks for watching, and don't eat too many cakes. Good night.
You have been listening to Alfred the Great, written, directed, and edited by Pip Rowles. Featuring Mark Cartwright as King Alfred, Lindsay Crutchett as the Old Crone, Nigella Folsom and Laura Coonsfroth, Martin Frost as the Crone's husband, Gamey Bolivar and the First Warlord, Samantha Harris as Mary Telly and Fiona Brucewode, Melanie McCabe as Sue Perky and Vicky Tung, and Mike Strong as Paul Hollybush, the Second Warlord and Guthrum. Music by Frank Schroeter. Upstage Surrey, creating entertainment written and performed by local people for local people.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.